Can you please turn to Matthew chapter 6? Matthew chapter 6. Verse 11. Matthew 6:11. Give us today our needed bread. Give us today our needed bread. We have been considering together on this so-called Lord's Prayer lately. We know that it is the prayer that our Lord has taught His church to pray. And in this prayer, we find, first of all, that our Lord wants us to pray for God's need first, before we pray for our own needs. This is the order. Oftentimes we forget that God has needs too. We are so completely wrapped up with our own needs that when we come to Him, we just begin with our own needs and we forget His needs altogether. And probably this is one reason why oftentimes our needs are not met. But if we really can see that, we should pray for God's need first. And if we pray for His needs first, and then we'll find when we pray for our needs, they will be met. Now in Matthew 6, we find the Lord says, seek ye first the kingdom of God and His righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. The Lord wants us to seek the kingdom of God and His righteousness first. And of course, in seeking His kingdom and His righteousness, that includes prayer. So that's why we feel that the church really needs to pray for God's name, for God's kingdom, and for God's will. These are the things that the church ought to pray for. I do not feel it's a contradiction. You know, it says, seek ye first the kingdom of God and His righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. And then the Lord said, He teaches us to pray, give us this day our daily bread. Now sometimes we may wonder, now if we really seek His kingdom of righteousness, then all these things shall be added unto us. And all these things included our daily bread. Because immediately before that, the Lord said, now do not be concerned or be careful about what you shall eat and what you shall be clothed with and what you shall drink. All these things your Heavenly Father knows. Seek ye first the kingdom of God and His righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. Now if we seek God's kingdom and His righteousness first, and all these things shall be added unto us, does it mean that we don't need to pray for all these things? Well, He said, all these things shall be added unto you. But He doesn't say that it shall be added unto you without prayer. In other words, sometimes these things will be added to you without even praying, but at other times we need to pray for all these things. It is just a matter of keeping the right order. We need to pray for God's needs first, and then we pray for our needs. Why? Because the kingdom of God is the basic. Daily bread is the addition. if we forget the basic and just go right to the additional, it may not be added. But if we go to the basic, then we can pray for the additional. And we will find that it shall be added unto you. So, it doesn't mean that we shouldn't pray for our daily bread. As a matter of fact, we should. Because the Lord, He teaches the church to pray. Give us this day our daily bread. I wonder how much the church has really prayed for that, prayed that prayer. Sometimes we may think, well, it seems a lack of faith to pray such a prayer, a lack of trust. And sometimes we feel, well, when you get down to the physical, material things, it's not too spiritual in our approach. And I wonder whether it is because the church has not been praying this prayer that we find problems in this case. Give us this day our daily bread. The Lord teaches us. He instructs us to pray this prayer. It is for the church to take up this prayer. Give us this day our daily bread. Now why? Why should we pray this prayer? I think there are several reasons. Number one is, we are living in a very hostile world. And for Christians, for us to live a righteous and godly life is not easy. In other words, we are living in an enemy territory. The atmosphere around us is hostile, opposing to us. And if we want to be faithful to the Lord, if we want to live a righteous life, if we want to live godly, we find it is not an easy thing. And because of this, how we need to look to our Heavenly Father to support us and to supply us with all our needs. One day you will find that without the mark of the beast, you cannot even sell or buy. In other words, even these physical things will be under such control that for people to live godly and righteously, it will mean starvation, it will mean death, physical death. It will mean lack. And such days are coming. In a sense, we are already in those days. And because of this, you find the church should pray for daily bread. We need to look to our Heavenly Father to supply us with our necessities. Otherwise, we will find that the enemy is trying to take away even our necessities. We are living under such hostile conditions. And number two, I think the Lord wants His church to pray this prayer. It is because it creates within us a spirit of dependence. I think as Christians, we need to cultivate this spirit of dependence. Now, sometimes we think that, well, I earn my own bread. Now, it is true, we have to work. As the Bible says, if you don't work, do not eat. But that doesn't mean that because we work, we earn our daily bread. If the Father does not give us our daily bread, no matter what we do, we won't have it. So sometimes we forget, we depend on ourselves so much. We think, well, we have a job, and we are working, and we work very diligently, so we earn our own bread. That's the way that we have our livelihood, support, and we tend to forget that it is our Heavenly Father who gives our daily bread. And we need to be reminded. He gave, and we are paid. If He does not give, we won't have any, no matter how we work. So we need to always be reminded that our daily bread is given by our Heavenly Father. That we really depend upon our Heavenly Father to supply us with all our necessities. He is the one who gives us. And that creates within us a spirit of dependence upon God and a spirit of thankfulness. And that's the reason why before we eat, we pray. It's not because it's a formality when we are doing it. It's because we do acknowledge that our daily bread is given to us by our Heavenly Father. And number three, I think it helps us to cultivate within us a sense of trust, that we do trust the Lord for our every need. And I do believe that as we go on and the days have become more and more evil, this sense of trusting the Heavenly Father, it should increase. We really need to trust Him for our every need. You know, we may not think that prayer is necessary because we have food. But we must remember that there are people in this world, even within the household of God, that they have to look to the Father for their daily bread. And that's the reason why it is the church prayer. As the church of God, we should not be so self-centered because we don't have this need at the present moment. Therefore, we don't pray this prayer. Even if we do not have it, but there are brothers and sisters in this world that have such a need. And literally, they are praying for their daily bread. And we should, as God's church, stand with our brothers and sisters. And remember, this is the prayer of the church, that we should pray for the daily bread. And fourthly, I think the reason why the Lord wants us to pray such a prayer is to build within us an attitude of contentment. Give us this day our daily bread. We are not asking for abundance. We are not asking for luxury. We are just asking for daily bread, not for tomorrow, but for today. In other words, it will build within us an attitude of contentment. Godliness with contentment is great gain. You see, the problem with the world today is people are never contented. They always want more, and want more. And because of that, you'll find they are tempted and fall into destruction. Now, as God's people, when we pray this prayer, give us this day our daily bread, it helps us to really be contented, you know, with daily need of the day, and really builds within us an attitude of contentment. So I do feel that it is the will of God that His church should pray this prayer. Give us this day our daily bread. When our Lord Jesus was on earth, it is true that He is always looking after the basic, and that is, He always preached the word, tried to supply the spiritual need. That is the basic. But we also find that while He was on earth, He did use 5 loaves and 2 fishes to feed the 5,000. He was compassionate and considerate. And out of His compassion and consideration, He took care of the needs of the people. And certainly, the Lord wants us to be compassionate and considerate. We may only have 5 loaves and 2 fishes, but the Lord can multiply and feed 5,000. So I do believe that when the Lord teaches us to pray such prayer, it is not in any sense that He wants us to forget God's need and fall so low as to our physical need. But I do believe that the Lord, He really cares for us. And He promises us that if we seek His kingdom and righteousness first, these things shall be added unto us. And sometimes, you know, when you read biographies of God's servants, God's people all over the world, you know, different centuries, you find that how many of them have to pray for their daily bread. And because they pray, the Lord answers. And that creates within them a deep sense of daily looking to the Lord, depending upon the Lord. You know, and in one sense, we may think, well, that kind of life is very difficult. But in another sense, you know, that kind of life is really glorious. You know, they have come to know the Lord in such personal, such intimate way. To see that the Lord really take care of every small thing in their lives. It's a blessing. It's a real blessing. So I do feel that it is not forbidden to pray for our deliverance. On the contrary, we are commanded to pray. But remember, it is the prayer of the church. We need to pray this prayer because even if we do not have the immediate need today, but we know that somewhere God's people have such a need. And if we pray such a prayer, I do believe it will do us good in a spiritual way, because it does create within us, as I say already, a sense of dependence, trust, contentment, looking to the Lord, and not in any sense become forgetful and self-reliant, thinking that we made it all, you know. And I think that will help us to look to the Father and draws you nearer to Him. So may the Lord help us in this area.
The speaker would like to note that references in this message to Andrew Murray should actually be G. Campbell Morgan.
Please turn to Matthew chapter 6. Matthew chapter 6. Verse 12. Matthew chapter 6, verse 12. And forgive us our debts, as we also forgive our debtors. We are still considering together on the so-called Lord's Prayer. That is, the prayer that our Lord teaches His church to pray. We mentioned that we have three petitions in the beginning of that prayer that concern with God's interest. We must always, in our prayer, take God's interest as the first and foremost things to pray for. And then you'll find three more petitions that pertain to our needs, our interests. So after we pray for God's interest, then we are able to pray for that which concerns us immediately. And it is always within the context of God's interest first. And then in the three petitions for our own needs, you'll find that actually they cover all the needs that we have while we are on earth, waiting for the return of our Lord. Give us this day our needed bread, our physical need. Forgive us our debts, as we also forgive our debtors, our soulical or psychological needs. And then lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from the evil one, our spiritual need. Give us this day our daily bread is basically our relationship with our Heavenly Father, because we look to our Heavenly Father for the supply of our daily needs. Forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors is primarily our relationship with our fellow man. And then lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from the evil one, reveals our relationship with the evil one. That is, we ask the Lord to deliver us from him. Now this prayer, forgive us our debtors as we forgive our debts, as we also forgive our debtors, is the only petition with a condition. Forgive us our debts as we also forgive our debtors. As we also forgive our debtors is the condition. Now remember, this is not a sinner's prayer. If it is a sinner's prayer, there will be no condition. As a sinner, when we cry out for mercy, God hears us and forgives us. It is on the basis of the shed blood of our Lord Jesus. It is not conditioned upon what we do. So as a sinner, when we come to God and ask for forgiveness by believing in the Lord Jesus, our sins are forgiven. Our debts are all paid. God does not lay down any condition for us to fulfill before He will forgive us. And we thank God for that, because if He should lay down any condition, we won't get forgiveness. But as the song that we sing, Jesus paid it all. The Lord Jesus has paid it all. And because of this, there is no condition. If only we come to God through Jesus Christ, our sins are forgiven. Unconditionally, because Jesus has paid it all. Now that's a sinner's prayer. But you see a difference here. Here you'll find the forgiveness, our being forgiven, is conditioned upon our forgiving others. Or to put it another way, if we do not forgive others, God will not forgive us. Therefore, it is not a sinner's prayer. It is the prayer of the church. That is, after we come to the Lord Jesus and have received mercy and forgiveness, within the context of the church, God expects us to exhibit the same compassion, the same mercy that He has shown us. And if we do not, then He will not forgive our debts. Now, if we think about it, probably we dare not pray this prayer. Maybe out of habit, we may be reciting the Lord's Prayer, so-called Lord's Prayer. But if you really understand what it means, I wonder, do we dare to pray such a prayer? Father, forgive our debts, as we also forgive our debtors. Once a lady wrote to Andrew Murray, after Andrew Murray gave a talk on the Lord's Prayer, she wrote him a letter saying that in her prayer he changed the word a little bit. And the way she prayed was, forgive us our debtors and we will forgive. Forgive us our debt and we will forgive our debtors. In other words, forgive us first, and then we will forgive others. And she asked if such change is all right. And of course, Andrew Murray wrote back and said, it is not all right. Because the Bible says, forgive us our debts as we also forgive our debtors. An unforgiving spirit is very unhealthy to our soul. God wants us to have a healthy soul, a sound soul. God wants us to really have peace in our heart. Rest in our soul. But if we do not forgive, we'll find that our unforgiveness will actually hurt our own soul. It may hurt others, but it hurt us at the same time. So God wants us to always have a forgiving spirit. If we forgive others, then He will forgive us. Now, on the one hand, when we come to our Heavenly Father, we come with boldness. We approach the throne of grace boldly because of the blood of the Lamb, because of the blood of our Lord Jesus. He has opened a new and living way for us, and He is our High Priest, interceding for us. So, when we think of what the Lord has done for us, we can come to Him boldly and pray. But at the same time, when we think of ourselves, we cannot help but feel that we owe Him so much. No one can come to God and feel that he does not owe God anything. We always owe Him. Why? Because we come short of His glory. Even the best that we have is below standard. In other words, as we come to Him, we realize how much we owe Him. We owe Him glory, honor, praise, worship, love. We can never come to a place where we can say we owe Him nothing. And if this is true, how much we need to forgive others that we may receive forgiveness for our debts. Otherwise, our prayer will be hindered. So it is so vital to our spiritual well-being, to the well-being of our soul, that we do, by His grace, learn to forgive others, that we may receive forgiveness. You know, you remember in Matthew, the Lord mentioned, well, it was Peter who came to the Lord and said, "My brother sinned against me 7 times and I forgive him." Now, what would you say about that? And you remember the Lord said, "I didn't say 7 times. I said 70 times 7. And the Lord used a parable to illustrate it. And the parable is a certain bond slave owed his master over $1 million. He couldn't pay back. He said, "I will. Give me time. I will pay back." But he couldn't. And yet the master, out of his compassion, forgave him his debt completely. He went out, he met a fellow servant of his that owed him only less than $1. But he took hold of him and said, "Pay, otherwise go to jail." And his fellow servant pleaded with him, but he wouldn't listen and put him to jail. And this matter was known to the master. And the master called him back and said, "I forgive you all your debts, and yet you will not forgive. Therefore, you have to pay." And in that parable, the Lord is teaching us how we need to forgive others. And when we think of how much we owe the Lord, what people owe us is nothing. And you know, this is the only condition you find in the so-called Lord's Prayer. And even after he finished teaching this, he further explained and enlarged on this one point. It shows how important it is. And this is a prayer that the church ought to pray. Why? Because you find among God's people today, there are so much unforgiving spirit, bitterness against one another. God's people are so divided. God's people fight against each other, devour each other, will not forgive each other. And because of this, you find the testimony of God's suffer tremendously. It is because of this unforgiving spirit among God's people. And remember, this not only affects others, it affects ourselves. So it is most important to us today that we should pray this prayer. Now thank God, because we can forgive others. Why? Because His life and His Spirit is within us. If we do not have His life, if His Spirit is not in us, we do not have the strength or the willingness to forgive others. But having His life in us, and His life is a forgiving life. His Spirit is Spirit of forgiving. And with His life and Spirit within us, we are able to forgive our debtors. And that's grace. And because we are able to forgive our debtors, therefore we will receive forgiveness from God. So, God wants His people not only be a forgiven people, but also a forgiving people. We are forgiving much, so let's forgive much. And if we forgive much, we will be forgiven much more. So, this is not a sinner's prayer, I would emphasize again, because if you're confused with that, you know, it seems as if forgiveness is based on your forgiving, but that is not true. But it is a church prayer. After we come to the Lord and have all our debts paid, all the past are forgiven, and God expects us from now on be merciful as He is merciful. Be forgiving as He is forgiving. So we hope that in our prayer we will not skip this or forget this.
May we continue to read Matthew 6. Matthew 6, chapter 6, verse 13. Chapter 6, verse 13. And lead us not into temptation, but save us from evil. Lead us not into temptation, but save us from evil. This is the last of the three petitions for ourselves. And as we mentioned before, that we have physical needs, so we need to pray, give us today our needed bread. We have soulical needs, so we need to pray that He will forgive our debts as we also forgive our debtors. And we have spiritual need, so we need to pray that lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. We live in a hostile world. We are strangers and sojourners. But one thing that really comforts our heart, and that is our God is sovereign, and He rules and overrules everything. Even though evil is upon this earth, and yet we know that without our Father's permission, nothing can fall upon us. God has not promised us that we will not be tempted. You know, in James chapter 1, we are told that God cannot be tempted by evil things. Neither does He tempt anyone. Temptation comes from the enemy. The enemy tries to tempt us to sin. And it is because there is lust of the flesh within us. Therefore, we can be enticed and fall into sin. But without God's permission, even the tempter cannot tempt us. In other words, there is a limit. God sets a limit. He rules over even in this matter of temptation. And that's the reason why we can pray, lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from the evil one. We are tempted because of our human nature. You know, God cannot be tempted. But we as human beings can be tempted. And in 1 Corinthians chapter 10, you remember that famous verse, verse 13. No temptation has taken you but such as is according to human, to man's nature. He says, no temptation has taken you but such as is according to man's nature. In other words, man's nature is a fallen nature. In man's nature there is lust. And because of this, we can be tempted. And we will be tempted. But the wonderful thing is, and God is faithful, who will not suffer you to be tempted above what you're able to bear. In other words, so far as man's nature is concerned, we are exposed to temptation. We will be tempted. We give grounds to the enemy to tempt us and to attack us. But God is faithful. In what sense? He is faithful that He will not allow us to be tempted above that which we are able to bear. In other words, He knows how much we are able to bear. And only within that limit will He allow us to be tempted. Now that is the faithfulness of God. If God allows us to be tempted without setting any limit, how can we stand? But he has set a limit to the temptation that will come upon us. Even though, I mean, we have grounds within us for the enemy to tempt us, and yet still God in his faithfulness set a limit. And if he allows us to be tempted, at the same time he will always, with the temptation, make the issue also. So here you'll find two things. One thing is, he will not suffer us to be tempted above that which we are able to bear. He knows just how much we can stand. And secondly, as we are being tempted, or we are in the process of temptation, he will always make an exit, an escape for us. He will always open a way for us to escape from falling, to escape from evil. This God promises us. He does not promise us that we will not be tempted. He does not tempt us, but he does not promise us that we will not be tempted. Temptation comes from the enemy. Temptation is because there is lust within us. And yet God is so faithful that he really rules and overrules over the whole matter of temptation. First, he will not allow us to be tempted above that which he knows we can bear. And second, he always make an exit or escape for us so that we can bear it. Now, why is it that God allows us to be tempted sometimes? You know, in the case of Job, Satan has to ask permission from God to tempt Job. And God gave the permission. Why? Because unconscious to Job, and yet known to God, there was some ground, some impurity there. So God gave the permission for Satan to tempt Job. And yet, God set a limit there. And also God made an exit for him. So the result was, through the temptation, Job was purified. God, in a sense, used Satan to purify Job. And that is the reason why he allows us sometimes to be tempted. Even though the thought of the enemy is evil when he tempts us, yet God's thought about it is good. That out of the temptation, we may be stronger than ever before. Now the reason why people fall in temptation, or to put it another way, there is no reason why we should fall when we are tempted. And if we fall, it simply means one thing, that we do not look to God. There is enough that has been planted in us by God to endure the temptation. God knows it. He has measured it. So if we fall, it's simply because we do not draw upon that which he has already put in us. And that's the reason why we fall. So there is really no excuse if we fall in temptation, because it's within God's control. You know, our Lord Jesus, when he was on earth, he was tempted in all things in like manner as we are, except sin. Now, we are tempted because we have that lust within us. Our Lord Jesus was tempted in all things, but he hadn't had that lust within him. Why was he tempted? In Hebrews we are told that he suffered being tempted that he might sympathize with us and be a help to us. In other words, we are tempted because of our lusts, but he was tempted because of us, not because of him. He was tempted in all things. God allowed him to be tempted, and God, even the Spirit, even led him to the wilderness to be tempted of the devil. It's not because of something in him. It is because he is going to be that high priest. He is going to be that help to us. And that's the reason why he was tempted. And through temptations, he did not sin. So he is able to deliver us from evil whenever we are tempted. And the prayer here is, lead us not into temptation. As if God leads us into temptation. Now, what is really meant here? Lead us not into temptation. Why should we pray this prayer? Or put it another way, if we do not pray this prayer, will we have more temptations that's necessary? Probably we will. And that's the reason why we need to pray, lead us not into temptation. You know, sometimes we can be so bold, thinking that we are able to stand. We become self-confident. We become presumptuous. We think that we are able to meet any temptation. We become careless. And even in 1 Corinthians 10, verse 12, the one before verse 13 said, now if anyone thinks that he can stand, beware lest he fall. So in praying, lead us not into temptation, actually creates in us a spirit of humility. It is a holy caution. We should not be presumptuous. We knowing ourselves, knowing what is in us, that is in our flesh, there is no good. Knowing our human nature, we need to pray to the Lord that he will not lead us to temptation, lest we cannot stand. So this kind of prayer is necessary. You know, it keeps us away from that self-confidence. Like Peter. Peter said, well, if everyone will leave you, I never will. I'm willing to die with you. Well, Satan asked for him, and God gave the permission. Peter was sifted. But thank God, at the same time, the Lord said, I pray for you. I ask for you too. Satan asked for you to sift you, but I ask for you that your faith will not fail. Even though you fall, and yet your faith will not fail. You will be recovered. You know, it is because sometimes we expose ourselves, as it were, to temptations. So we really need to pray that prayer of protection. Lead us not into temptation, knowing how fragile, how weak we are. We need to ask the Lord, do not lead us to temptation. The Lord knows, you know. And if we have such a humble spirit before Him, I do believe that many temptations will be avoided. And if it is necessary, sometimes God thinks that temptation is necessary, God will use that temptation to complete us, then deliver us from evil. Even we are being tempted, yet we will not commit evil. We will not fall into the trap of the enemy. Save us from evil. In a sense, when our Lord Jesus was in the Garden of Gethsemane, listen to what He prayed. Father, if it be possible, let this cup be removed from me. Lead us not into temptation. But if it is thy will be done. Deliver us from evil. This is the prayer of our Lord in the Garden of Gethsemane. And I do believe that we as God's people, the Church of God, needs to pray the same prayer. Lead us not into temptation, but save us from evil. And thank God, He is in control. And He will hear our prayer. And we will escape many temptations that are not really necessary. But those temptations that are needed, we'll find that He will keep us from evil. That we are able to stand, to withstand, and to stand. And we will become stronger after we are tempted. Just us as our Lord Jesus. When He came back from the wilderness, He was full of the power of the Holy Spirit. So the same thing will be our portion. So I do feel that oftentimes, because we do not pray this prayer, we are exposed to many unnecessary temptations. And also we tend to fall into evil. But actually, you'll find that He is well able to save us from evil. When He allows temptation, He knows there is enough He has deposited in us to overcome evil. So may the Lord help us.
This concludes the ministry of Brother Kong on corporate prayer.